As promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, the man who knows how to order fries at McDonald's. Good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, brother? How was whiskey?
Oh, dude, so fun. So fun. How you doing?
I'm doing well. If not for the NFL and NFLPA negotiations that are sputtering along like Jim Rome's Mare Corps as it crossed 15,000 miles, the white smoke is coming.
Well played, my man. You nailed that. Charles Robinson's my guest. Let's talk about that white smoke. So you and Pete Thamel had a piece last week for Yahoo where you broke down the situation between the NFL and the NFLPA as it reports to players showing up for camp during the pandemic. Rookies are supposed to report for Houston and Kansas City today. Overall, how would you describe the situation as it is right now?
You know, it's tenuous right now. As we speak, rookies are getting tested for coronavirus outside of the practice facility here in Houston. They're going to be sent home afterward. And, you know, this is, in some ways, this is the canary in the coal mine. Like, let's see how quickly some of these tests come back. Because the NFL, ultimately, once this all gets hammered out with the union, would like a testing regimen of, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and getting results back Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And, you know, look, it's ambitious because you're talking anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 tests when you consider the coaching staff, the personnel, everybody involved with all these teams. You know, getting it back on a 24-hour basis is going to be rough. But, I mean, there are so many things right now that the league and the union are trying to work out, the economics of the situation, which they have about a month and a half before the start of the regular season to figure out the cap ramifications. But, you know, players are going through the roof because essentially on Friday, they still had questions for franchises about testing protocols, about opt-out situations, how that was going to impact salary, you know, contracts. Did contracts toll? Do we still get a year accrued toward the pension? You're talking about really everything. I mean, how camps are even going to be run, you know, once players actually get in. So, a lot still to be worked out between the NFL and the NFLPA. And I think today you'll see the league probably cut the two preseason games to one preseason game, which is going to upset half the teams in the league because they're going to sit there and go, hey, guess what? You just gave 16 teams a competitive advantage because now they can go through a dry run in the preseason, figuring out how to get people in and everybody being safe. Whereas the other 16 of us have to do it when the regular season starts and everything's real.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. Of course, the players don't want any preseason whatsoever. You know, the fact that we're at this point where we are right now and there's still so many questions, all along the talk had been that the NFL had the advantage over other leagues because they could see what worked and what didn't work for those leagues, and they had all this extra time to get a plan in place, yet they haven't been able to do so. Exactly what is the status? I mean, do they have something that is near fully developed? And how did they get to this place where they had all that time but apparently didn't make good use of it?
Well, so on Friday, I had somebody who, frankly, had been kind of a pessimist in this whole, you know, basically the talks. Say, look, you know, we're within spitting distance of a lot of issues, not so much the economic end of it, how to deal with the salary cap ramifications. But there's a longer term, you know, to work that out. There is roughly 6 weeks to try and get that figured out. Everything else, at least on the league side, they felt like, hey, we're getting within the zone of getting a lot of these things done. The problem was on Friday, the league was supposed to have, every team was supposed to submit an infectious disease emergency response plan, which is basically like, hey, if all hell breaks loose, you know, here's our plan in place to keep everybody safe. Here's how we're going to deal with all this. And only, you know, there were still a lot of teams that had not submitted, like, the initial plan for review. And that has to be reviewed by the union. It has to be reviewed by the league's doctors, all these different individuals. So you had players who got on a conference call on Friday going, what's going on? We don't even have one of these, you know, fundamental building blocks that, frankly, you could have developed 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago. Just pretend the worst-case scenario was going to happen. Develop the plan and have it ready for us. And there were teams that still hadn't done that. So that's how you ended up with Sunday, a number of elite level players saying, you know what, let's go forward with this idea that we need to put some pressure on the league from a social media standpoint to try and get, you know, these things rolling. Like, we need these emergency response plans in place. We need the doctors to have reviewed them. We need the union to sign off on them. It's, it's not in a great zone. But one of the top five things I think that has to be worked out is the preseason, you know, situation. How many games will there be? Okay, you knock that one off. Let's see what the testing protocols are. Okay, that's a top five thing. You can knock that off. Okay, players have all these questions about the opt-outs. We can knock that off. All of a sudden, you're making significant progress toward July 28th, and simultaneously, you're getting a look at these rookies showing up in Houston and Kansas City and seeing, are the tests coming back on time? Are things running seamlessly? We won't even really know that because rookies all go home today, and they got to show up tomorrow for testing, and it won't be until, you know, really maybe Thursday, Friday before we know how seamlessly even the rookies being in the building in two franchises is.
Charles Robinson joining us and breaking it all down. All right, so fingers crossed. Hopefully it gets done. Let me move on to another topic before I let you go. What was your reaction to the report from the Washington Post where 15 women who work for the Washington NFL team came forward and alleged sexual harassment by former scouts and members of Dan Snyder's inner circle? What was your reaction to the report?
I mean, it's a mess. It's if there wasn't something that Washington, you know, we're dealing with all the name stuff and, you know, really Dan Snyder's reign in general, decades of futility. And then, you know, this environment exists where you have, you know, 15 women working inside the franchise who say, look, there's, you know, serial sexual harassment going on inside the franchise. You have reporters coming out and going on the record saying, look, I had incidents with, you know, people inside that franchise. It's ugly. I mean, it's as ugly as it can be. But I think if there's one takeaway that people need to understand from this, we find out in the fallout that there are non-disclosure agreements that were being signed, you know, by women who worked in the franchise. And just 2 years ago, coming out of the Carolina Panthers investigation, the outside investigator, one of the protocols that they said, look, here's a recommended change. No more non-disclosure agreements. Anything that would violate the personal conduct policy inside your franchise, NDA should not be signed to cover that anymore. And people should be free to speak about potential personal conduct violations. Well, guess what? This would fall under personal conduct, you know, inside the franchise, even if Dan Snyder wasn't aware. Those NDAs are something that keep happening over and over inside franchises. The league said they would look at addressing it. Well, here we are. 2 years later, we're finding out that people still can't talk because NDAs are in place. At some point, the NFL is going to have to remedy that, but I'm going to tell you right now, that is one thing that I don't think NFL owners will ever want to be taken away from them is the ability to pay off and sign away problems inside their franchise.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so overall, how do you think the NFL is going to respond to this? And in particular, what could it mean to Snyder?
Well, look, the league's going to have to Washington's going to do their own external investigation. I think you're going to ultimately see that the league's going to have to do essentially its own external investigation. Can't just allow Dan Snyder to run an outside the house investigation on his own. That's not how the league approached it in Carolina. So if they don't approach it the same way in Washington that they did with Carolina, then there's inequity occurring between the two ownership groups. I don't ultimately think this is a situation where you're going to see Dan Snyder forced to sell the team the way Jerry Richardson was, the difference being that Jerry Richardson was directly involved in a lot of the NDAs that got signed and the incidents that happened inside his franchise. And to this point, you know, the culture is the culture, but if Dan Snyder was not, you know, taking part in, you know, some of the things that the employees have alleged, that creates a little comfort zone for him, although he should not be comfortable because this is not ultimately going to end up, you know, well for the look of the organization. So I could see, you know, Dan Snyder getting fined, you know, the Washington Redskins having to, you know, deal with the league in terms of the structure moving forward. How are they going to have an HR department? You know, how are they going to deal with these problems in the future? But it's not going to be like Carolina, unless something else comes out, which is a possibility once reports like this drop, other people may come out. As it stands right now, it's not going to be the same situation with Jerry Richardson because of the personal involvement.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, is joining us. One more topic before I let you go. You and I have talked about Dak Prescott's contract for years now, and it looks like we may still be talking about his contract for years now as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys. The deadline came and went. The two sides did not agree to a long-term extension. Exactly what are the Cowboys doing, and what is their plan here?
I mean, they're mishandling it. I mean, they've dropped it at every point that they could have gotten Dak Prescott under contract by being aggressive. paying a little bit more, giving up a little bit more. They didn't do it. Now, look, you can blame Dak Prescott and say, hey, you know, he could give a little something back. Pat Mahomes, even though he signed this monster deal with Kansas City, he didn't put the screws to the franchise. Difference was Pat Mahomes played on a first-round contract for a few years, got paid. Dak Prescott played for 3 years under a fourth-round contract, completely different scenario. Actually, you know, I mean, we're really talking 4 years on a fourth-round contract. And this is a guy who, you know, now stands to make, because the Dallas Cowboys allowed it to get to this position, he's going to make more than any other football player in the NFL the next 3 years if the Dallas Cowboys have to use that franchise tag, which has taken this to a zone where if there's a deal to be done, Dak Prescott is going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. That's what the next three franchise tags dictate. The Cowboys are a long way from that. I don't even think they're willing to get him to $40 million per season, which is what his contract is going to dictate because of those franchise tags. It was mishandled by the Cowboys, and now they're going to have to figure out, either after this this season or the 2021 season, following the 2021 season, they're going to have to either cut bait or pay him, like I said, the largest contract in the history of the NFL. The only thing that saves them at this point is probably not the greatest scenario, and that would be Dak Prescott's play and development falling off the next 2 years.
Yeah, but he's getting better and better and better, and the guy's so durable. He doesn't, not only is he not miss games, he doesn't miss snaps. So how do you think it plays out? Is he going to be a Cowboy for years to come, or are they going to say, you know what, we could do better, it's not worth it, and will they let him go?
I think he plays the next two seasons in Dallas, but I think he plays under the tag. So you're talking about, you know, $31.4 million, $37.7 million the next two seasons. And I think if there is success, so if the Cowboys go to the playoffs this year, if they go to the playoffs next year, if, you know, prayers are answered for Jerry Jones and they win a Super Bowl in that span, they're not going to have an issue making him the highest paid player in the NFL. But I think if they have a fair amount of success, continue to play in the postseason, and as you said, Dak Prescott doesn't miss snaps, which he hasn't. He takes a step forward every year, which he's done every single year of his career. I think they're going to get to a zone after the 2021 season and say, okay, if he goes to free agency, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, highest paid player in the league. We're just going to have to deal with it and swallow it and lock this guy up for the next, you know, 4 years, and basically look at, we've had the by the end of that 4 years, we've had the lion's share of his prime. I think he will get paid, barring an injury or just all of a sudden Dak Prescott hitting a wall, which frankly I don't think is going to happen because some of the pieces around him are getting better.
So really quickly, is this just business, or if you were Dak, would you be pissed?
I'd be pissed. I mean, like, you know, you've had to play out a rookie contract. You know, you were a guy that, hey, the franchise wanted Paxton Lynch. That would have been a mess in the 2016 draft. They wanted Connor Cook. That would have been a mess. You ended up falling in their laps. You started as a rookie. You did nothing but get better and continue to improve. And again, it was, if the Cowboys had just been willing to be a little ahead of the market at a number of different points, this would have been done. Could have been done in February 2019. Could have been done in August of 2019. Both of those times, the Cowboys tried to play it a little under market. They wanted Dak Prescott not to maximize kind of where the market was going. But, you know, that's the way that this works, and they needed to understand that financially they were in a position where he was the player that they could not afford to not overpay a little, and they just were not willing to do that. So it leads you as a player, if you're Dak Prescott, particularly a quarterback who's considered your franchise quarterback, to wonder how much do they really love me if they're not willing to pay me a little more than they have to, and particularly when they went to the mattresses with Ezekiel Elliott and ended up losing that one and paying him a top-end deal for a running back.
I agree with you. Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He's also the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, good friend of the program, and in fact, my first guest back after a two-week break. Charles, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Romy. We're happy to have you back, and stay safe. All right, brother?
You're the man. Charles Robinson, you too. He is such a pro. Love talking to him.